listening to The Engineering Edge Expansion Pack. I'm Professor Lucy Rogers, and this is the Expansion Pack for our Makers in Space episode. If you've not heard this already, get downloading. Head to designspark.com/podcasts to hear it and the rest of Series 2. This week, I'm talking to award-winning product design engineer Jude Pullen about the art of 3D printing with recycled materials. Jude, thanks ever so much for joining me on this call today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I know that you've been playing with concrete and I've been playing with concrete. I was trying to 3D print with concrete using a piped icing bag, but it didn't work. And I think you're going to tell me why. Something to do with it being thixotropic?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie. That was one of those phrases which I learned back in the day when I was at engineering college and did need a quick refresher on Wikipedia. But essentially just means that it has this unusual property of shear thinning. I think it's basically its fancy term, which the bit you can relate to, I guess, is that if you've ever shook tomato ketchup in a bottle, this was in the days before squeezy, then it sort of doesn't want to go anywhere for a long time, and then eventually it suddenly all comes out.
All over your chips.
Yes, exactly. So that was my excuse anyway for having way too much ketchup at the dinner table.
So there's certain materials that have got this property of staying really quite stiff when you're doing something to them, but actually if you shake them or prod them gently, then they'll move.
Yeah, and I guess the weird thing is that when you were saying you were struggling with piping the concrete out of it, the reason you were struggling wasn't because of its thixotropic-ness, if that's a word.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was probably just the sheer internal friction of you've got all these big chunky bits of particle trying to move past each other in a smaller and smaller space.
Right.
And the friction becomes so high that you just can't squirt it out the nozzle. And I've had exactly the same when trying to use one of those mastic guns which happen to have grout in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, I mean, I'm not a weakling, but I'm literally at the limit of my physical strength trying to get that stuff out the nozzle. And so I think that's also the other thing. The internal friction of how you force something out of a nozzle is a pretty big deal. You know, if you ever watch builders lay cement, they tend to sort of tamp it.
Yes.
And they sort of wibble it about and you see it go from looking very chunky to looking quite flowy and smooth. And so probably what you needed inside your piping bag was something that was jiggling around.
Yeah.
That would have helped a lot.
Well, I did try that.
Ah.
I put an electric toothbrush inside. Unfortunately, though, I had bought a rather cheap electric toothbrush. And, they're not designed to have sand and grit inside them. So it went zit, oh.
Oh, dear.
And that was it for the whole. So jiggling it about would have been a great idea, but not with the kit that I had chosen there.
And I suspect one of the other things, I don't know how much your audience is into details, but I guess the frequency is also a really big factor. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the Millennium Bridge example in London. For anyone who doesn't know, people walked across it and it started swaying violently, or it caught a gust of wind and then it went completely out of control and got really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that within that, there will be some frequencies which are really good jiggly frequencies for concrete and others which are less so.
I think this is the new technical term, a good jiggly frequency.
So there will be optimum jiggly frequencies and you'll probably get a bell curve and you probably want to be at the top of that. And that will be, you know, so many hertz or revolutions. And that'll be that's probably more work than you maybe signed up for.
Yeah. So even though I couldn't do it in my workshop, it is actually possible to 3D print with concrete if you get a jiggly agitating thing in there. And the right mix.
Yeah, and weirdly, I'd say that this is a little bit like my background and why, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, did I choose engineering or did engineering choose me? Because I sort of enjoy going down the rabbit hole with these sorts of things. And I find that often the way to sort of fix it is that if it's not really, and I don't mean obvious as in easy, but I mean as in you can use first principles of known physics to solve the problem,
yeah,
then the alternative is to go look and steal from another industry. So my hunch is that probably sort of, I don't know, pasta extrusion probably has figured this out. you know, or the people who make Aquafresh, other brands are available. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, toothpaste, yeah.
Putting those sorts of stripes in toothpaste, how do they get them so accurate? They've probably figured tons of this stuff out. And so I think that that's often the really interesting part of sort of discovery of being an engineer, is finding yourself in really unusual places and just getting into it.
This is probably a good segue. I omitted to ask you to introduce yourself. So would you mind giving it a go?
I guess you kind of got the vibe of it, really, that I've labeled myself as a prototyping expert and technologist. But usually when people employ me, they realize that I try to make complex things simple. Mm-hmm. By using prototypes, or I take technology and I make it simpler, or I find something that didn't need the technology in the first place. And often the latter quite surprises people, especially when you're invoicing them as a technologist to say you didn't need complex AI for that. You just needed this.
I think that's a great example. I know recently you've been making an arch out of concrete or just cement. And I saw you were using, as your mold, a corner yogurt pot.
Yeah, I think I'm amongst friends in this audience to say that I'm one of these people who, if I come across a new bottle while on holiday or something, I end up thinking, oh, that's really great graphic design and whatever. But then I start analyzing the injection molding of it and thinking, oh, that's, how did they get away with that? How did they do that shape? And so I'd always sort of had this, like, you know, fascination with the fact that the little, for anyone who doesn't know, a corner yogurt basically has a little chunk of fruit in one side and a bigger chunk of yogurt in the other, and you tip them over, but if you keep wangling it around, it snaps off. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be interesting if I put it inside and then use that as a mold for the concrete? And if you want to get really nerdy, I was aware that the yogurt pot has a really good draft angle, so I can sort of pop it out really easily. And so that's just a little bit like how my mind works, in that I like sort of, I guess, being playful with stuff that, you know, doesn't usually look like it is playful. And I kind of get a bit of a kick out of that.
The things we do at the weekends. Although I couldn't make this 3D printed concrete in my workshop, they still could in space. Concrete doesn't need oxygen, does it, to cure or to work?
Apparently not. Apparently the water just reacts with the chemicals. I think it's called a hydration reaction.
So that bit's fine. So we could make concrete on the moon. And I was wondering, okay, if we could use moon dust, but what if you weren't on the moon? What if you were on a mission to Mars and you needed to 3D print something quite solid? What else could we use as that aggregate?
I don't know. This is feeling like the Martian film where, like, do we have to use recycled waste or something? You know, toenail clippings, or could you use skin cells or stuff that's maybe accumulated as a waste product?
So all this stuff that they get off the filters.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining, you know, when the tumble dryer is full of lint, but their filters must be equally as full of, well, just like a vacuum cleaner, filling up the vacuum cleaner and all that dust and dirt. Ew.
I guess it's one of those balances of where, is it really worth the sweat? And and usually on Earth, you would say, of course not. But then it's very obvious that that is a economically viable solution. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, it's not to say that I think NASA's going to rush out and make dead skin concrete anytime soon. but it probably will be one of those things that is counterintuitive, because we live in a land of plenty.
Yeah. So it could be done if it had to be done.
It sounds horrible, though.
Astronauts have to be resilient already. They have to fix their problems themselves. They can't just, you know, call the AA out or whatever. But in low Earth orbit, you know, if something did really go wrong, or they need something sent up, well, they could get it sent up. But if you're on the moon, that's going to take, you know, days for something to arrive, or days for someone to come home if there was a problem. But once we venture even further out, they're going to have to be so much more creative. Is creativity something we actually currently associate with astronauts?
Well, this is a really fun question, actually. Should you send Picasso to the moon instead of Neil Armstrong? Traditionally, we send people who are technically capable of surviving what is basically a military level of threat. Mm-hmm. You know, you really can die in space. As many a sci-fi movie has given us ample, vivid horrors of. We're probably now at the stage where things are getting more routine and, you know, you've got various companies showing space tourism, it's reasonable to believe that people who are maybe more sort of poetic, you know, just able to engage with the humanity of the exercise. And that isn't to say Neil Armstrong wasn't capable of that, but it's fair to say, first and foremost, he was about getting the job done rather than writing a book about it. You know, they didn't send up an author.
Yeah.
You know, we can get into a side discussion about environmentalism and whether that's the first priority. But if you sort of take it for its provocation, then who are the most interesting people you should send up, I think is quite an exciting thing to contemplate.
Do you think that 3D printers are creative or practical now that we've got 3D printers in space? You know, do you think those astronauts are going to be making things for fun?
I think it's sort of an interesting one because 3D printers, they get a bad rap because a lot of people from outside the industry see things like 3D printed Yodas or various other sort of knickknacks and trinkets. And I think what they forget is that's often people just getting into it. Mm-hmm. They're just starting and they just want something to hit click print and see what it looks like. And often those models are about testing and exhibiting the quality of the machine. So things like overhangs or the sort of accuracy of the print. People forget that that's a necessary part of becoming familiar with a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time you learn how to use a paintbrush, you did not paint the Mona Lisa, did you? So I feel it's the same with 3D printers, of that we need to trust that people need some dabbling time. They need to explore, they need to make mistakes, because often the mistakes sometimes lead to something interesting as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's both highly practical, but the creative, should we say, I think it's a little bit of a glass ceiling. You have to sort of punch through it to find something more interesting to do than just, you know, crank out something that's a bit arbitrary without sounding too snobby.
So probably, I think, in the future, astronauts are not going to just have to be technically savvy, but they're probably going to be creatively savvy too.
Yeah, I get the impression, you know, your days will not just be defined by maintenance and a task, mm-hmm. but also a little bit how you engage with each other as a sort of close-knit team. So, I mean, my dad always sort of teases me that I loved the film Apollo 13 and the bit where everything went wrong and they had that problem with the air scrubbers for the CO2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on the edge of my seat and loving that. And so I kind of feel I've never really had the stomach to be a surgeon or a paramedic or something like this. But the next nearest life-threatening scenario with that level of ingenuity and tinkering, that's kind of what I try to sort of induce in my work.
Uh-huh.
I also really feel like the film The Martian was kind of like a documentary for engineers. From my perspective, I would have loved to have seen the other 7 planets all done as a box set with different problems to solve.
I'm loving the idea. Although I couldn't make concrete, the astronauts of the future are going to be able to use their creativity, use the tools that we're using down here on Earth, and actually, they're going to do okay.
Yeah, I think increasingly it's probably going to be one of those things where whenever you're in the vanguard in anything, probably it's going to move from it being mission control telling people what to do, but actually people having to be, you know, use their ingenuity on location.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's almost going to become the norm. And I guess the question is, what tools enable you to react as quickly as possible with the best solution? And I think, strangely enough, actually 3D printers are one of those things. And I guess you can probably say it's one of those few sort of workshop tools which actually a lot of people do own. I don't intend to buy a laser cutter anytime soon because it's just not worth the hassle. But having a $200 quite capable 3D printer makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I think it's quite likely that they'll probably have 3D printers in space.
It's been absolutely fascinating talking with you, Jude. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Jude. For more episodes, makes and other great content, head to designspark.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe and tell a friend. No, really, do that. It helps. Thank you.